both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are wrapping up our message series titled Peter, A Transformed Life. And we've been looking at Peter's life these last few weeks, and I've hoped that, you've been encouraged. Peter was an ordinary guy in many respects, but God used him in mighty ways. He probably, grew up much of his life thinking that, fishing was going to be the career path that was laid out for him. But all of that changed when he met a man named Jesus who said, Peter, I want you to become a fisher of men and women, of boys and girls. I like Peter. There's something about him that I've always appreciated. He's someone I think many of us can relate to. Peter had his strengths, but he also had his weaknesses. Hello? And God took his strengths, his weaknesses, and all, and used him to launch this whole new movement in the world called the church, the body of Christ. And think about all of the good that has happened in the world for Jesus' sake since that time. Initially the gospel was preached in Judea and then Samaria, but then it expanded to the Roman Empire and across Europe over time, and then it crossed the Atlantic Ocean and to the Americas, and now the gospel is literally being preached in some form or another around the globe. And it was Jesus who said to Peter, you are Peter, you are Petros, you are rock, you are rocky. And upon you, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. And so we've seen over these 2,000 years how that continues to unfold. So what are some of the things that we have learned about Peter? Well, first of all, Peter was used in a mighty way by God, but we've seen that before Pentecost, Peter had his shortcomings. He had his shortcomings. He was a leader. He was someone that others naturally followed, but he was also impulsive too. And so when he would often, launch out and do things for God in his own strength, he would mess up. So remember, he was on the Mount of Transfiguration there's Moses and Elijah and Jesus. They're all lit up, and he's thinking about booze, and God basically has to come with his voice and say, this is my son. Peter, listen to him. Just listen. The night of the Last Supper says, no, Jesus, you will never, never wash my feet. Most devastating, that same night, he says that even if all of the others fall away, Lord, I never will. And of course, we know the story. Peter was so often a failure when he was operating in his own strength. Story is told of a husband who's reading the newspaper, and he said to his wife, honey, I think there might be some real merit in what this article says. It says, the intelligence of the father can prove to be a stumbling block for the son. Well, smiled his wife, we are fortunate. Our little James has nothing standing in his way. We all know what it is to fall short in our own strength. Yet we've also seen that being filled with the Holy Spirit changed everything for Peter. On the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the what? The Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Peter experienced new power, new life, resurrection power, resurrection life, and he was forever changed. So the question is often answered, can people change? And the answer is, yes, they can, by the power of God. This is one of the huge truths of our Christian faith. When you and I put our faith in the risen Lord Jesus, the power of God, the power of His Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you and me. This is one of the greatest gifts and yet underutilized promises in all the Bible. The promised gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, comes down from on high to live inside of you and me. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, but too often we don't know how to utilize the gift. We don't appropriate the gift of God in our lives. So in my office, I've got this computer, and it has all of these capabilities, Publisher, Excel, PowerPoint, Access, Photo Editor. I only use a fraction of all of those programs. I really just use two, Word and Outlook Express. I got all that other stuff, but it's really just about Word and Outlook Express for me. That's all I've tapped into so far. Well, God, same thing, has so much that he wants us to learn and to understand and to experience, and yet too often we don't give him a chance. We're so busy with our stuff that we forgo his stuff and what he wants to do. Well, what else happened that we've known and learned about Peter? Well, Peter also experienced signs and wonders. When God comes to live in our lives, he also desires to give us signs of his presence and his power. God's word is true, and he wants to confirm it. He wants us to see, yes, this is amazing. Well, Peter exercised the gift of healing. He said, remember to the man born crippled in Acts 3:6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What? Walk. And he walked. The man walked. And Peter went on to experience other signs and wonders. Like, remember his first sermon, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Twice he found himself in prison. He's imprisoned, and an angel shows up and leads him out of the prison. That is a huge sign and wonder. Another time, he raised a person named Tabitha back to life. Signs and wonders. God confirms his truth with signs and wonders. And you know what? He is still doing it today. Recently, a person reminded me that I had prayed with her for a quick sale of her house, and then boom, the house sold. And then she said, I counted that as a sign and wonder. And a couple told me recently about their grandchild who faced a heart surgery, and we've been praying about that, and they said recently she's come through that, and it's wonderful, and we celebrated again. Boom, sign and wonder of God's goodness and his grace. What else did we learn about Peter? He developed boldness for Jesus. When these signs and wonders started happening and people started flocking, Peter kept pointing people, supporters and critics alike. He said, hey, it's about Jesus. He said, this Jesus whom you elders crucified, God is the one who has made him both Lord and Christ. And this Jesus of Nazareth who died but is now alive, he is the one through whom we do all of these things. The believers ate it up. The doubters wanted him to shut up. We don't want you speaking in this name of Jesus anymore. We want you to hush it up and to just go on your separate way. But the disciples would have nothing of it. In Acts 5:29, we read, they said, let's read it together. We must obey God rather than men. Boldness. They couldn't help speak about what they had seen and heard. Is that your story? That you, too, can't help to speak about what you have seen and heard? I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that all of us are asking the question, Lord, you know, what is my story? What have you been doing recently in my life that I could bear witness about? How have I seen your power working in me that others ought to be able to hear? I'm hoping that you are a bold witness of those simple things that you have seen and you have heard, you've experienced that God has done in your life. Well, one more thing. Peter broke down barriers. The barriers when he went in ministry to the Gentiles. So God used Peter to break through social and religious barriers of the day with the simple message of the gospel. And it happened in our text in Acts 10:28 at Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion. It was in his house that Peter said, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him, but God has shown me that I shall not call any man impure or unclean." The Gentiles had always been considered strangers, outsiders, foreigners to the covenant people. Many Jewish believers mistakenly felt that God didn't care for the Gentiles as much as he cared for them. But God's plan from the beginning had always been to reach the whole world, for God so loved the whole world. So eventually, he needed to break out of that box. So God sent Peter to Cornelius's house, a Gentile, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Peter preached to everyone there. In Acts 10:42, he's talking about Jesus. He said, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives" what? "Forgiveness of sins through his name." And then verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the original disciples was now being poured out upon these Gentiles. This was a new thing. And God used Peter to break down these dividing walls of hostility and to open up the good news of the gospel even to the Gentiles. And you and I are here today, beneficiaries of that great ministry that Peter began way back then, the ministry to the Gentiles. So I hope that you're inspired by Peter's life. I hope that you're thinking about your own life too. For I am convinced that it is God's will for your life, none other than what it was for Peter. God wants you too to have some of the same experiences that Peter had. Why should it be any different? So I would say this. First of all, I believe God wants you to overcome failures in your life. You know, all of us have failed. Hello? Right now, you might think of some of the big failures in your life. I know I have some. Got mine, you've got yours, but let's not think about that too long. Let's look instead at this scripture from Ephesians 1:7. Let's read it together. God forgives our failures because of his overflowing kindness. God forgives even our failures. That is good news, isn't it? Isn't that some great news? God forgives our failures. Here's a question. Have you experienced forgiveness, his forgiveness for your failures? Have you received that forgiveness? Has that forgiveness become real to you? The good news is that forgiveness is available. It's already promised. It was provided for you by Jesus. So rejoice if you have it, his forgiveness. And receive it if you need it today. Like Peter, God wants you too to overcome the failures of your life through the power of Christ's forgiveness. What's something else? I think that God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. God wants your life and mine to be full. He wants our lives to be full of all that he has for us. God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. The God of the universe, think about this, wants your life and mine to radiate the glory of his presence. He wants to shine his light through our lives. God wants to be a 1,000 watt light bulb of shining power through your life. But often only 25 watts is shiny, or 40 or 60 or 100. We have the capacity for 1,000 watts of God's power, but often we are only reflecting a very little bit of what is available. And why is that? Well, because our lives are too cluttered with other stuff. We have no capacity to shine any brighter because of the distractions in our lives, or maybe the sin in our lives that hold us back. Ephesians 5:18 says this, Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to wild living. Instead, be what? Filled with the Spirit. If we want to be filled with God's Spirit, it's out with the old and in with the new. Hello? We have to turn away from the bad influences in our lives and turn to closer to God's good influences, particularly by the power of His Holy Spirit working in us. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. So if you and I are doing what we know God doesn't want, or if we're not doing what we know that God does want, then we are quenching the Spirit. We are not allowing the Spirit of God to rule and to reign in our hearts. Story is told of the telephone rang at the school attendance office. Hello, Dunn at junior high school, said the secretary. The caller said, hi, I'm calling to let you know that, Paul won't be able to come to school all next week. Oh, well, what's the problem? Well, we're all going on a family vacation. Well, may I ask who's calling? Asked the suspicious secretary. And the voice said, sure, this is my father. That is not quite what it means to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, not at all. Here's another thing. God wants you to experience signs and wonders too. God wants to boost your faith. Hello? God wants to encourage your heart. So He brings signs and wonders to remind us of His faithfulness and power. We have already talked about healing. Isn't the healing power of God a great sign and a great wonder among us? Who here would say that you, over the course of your life, have experienced the sign and wonder of God's healing power? Anybody in the house? Sure, there's several hands that go up. We experience the healing power of God. It's a wonderful thing. We pray for healing and God works through doctors and medicine and His healing grace to restore us and to raise us up. There are great signs and wonders. Other ones, a church's ministry. The fruitfulness of a church's ministry is a great sign and wonder of God's power. So the last 64 years of our church's ministry has been a great sign and wonder of God's might and His power at work in our community. In a ministry that is birthed and then flourishes is a sign of God's grace, God's power. Acts 6:8, we read these words. Now Stephen, a man full of God's what? Grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Stephen, started out waiting tables, but God had more in store. So about 15 years ago now, I was eating lunch with a member of my church in Oklahoma City, and he had his friend who was telling about how God had opened up this door for him to do amazing ministry in China. So he had this company that made solar water pumps. A simple water pump, but it was powered by solar energy. And the Chinese government had come to him and invited him to bring these solar pumps to bring fresh water to remote villages in China where there was no electricity. He also had met someone who had connections with the house church movement in China, and they wanted him to come and help to continue to grow house churches where in the remote villages of China. So the government wanted him to come, and leaders of the underground house church movement wanted him to come, and God had opened up this door for him to be instrumental in two very significant ways. One, I'm bringing clean water to remote villages of China by drilling a well and equipping it with one of these solar-powered pumps, and then this network of house churches in remote villages throughout China, I'm going to be able to connect with them and continue to promote the growth of the church. So I'm sitting there hearing all of this, and I'm saying, what a great sign and wonder of what God is doing for His kingdom and by His power right here in the midst of our day and age and in our world. One more thing. Not only does God want you to do signs and wonders, I believe he wants you to develop boldness for Jesus as well. Like Peter and John, sometimes you just have to stand up and speak out about what you have seen and heard. Acts 4:13 says, when the council saw the boldness of Peter and John and could see that they were obviously what? Uneducated, non-professionals, they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done for them. Being with Jesus. It's amazing what being with Jesus can do for you. You never know what being with Jesus, where that is going to lead. Several years ago, a woman in my church in Oklahoma City exercised boldness for Jesus. So as she was growing in her faith, she had become aware increasingly of what, you know, God wants for our lives. And so she realized one day when she learned that her boss was having an affair, she said, you know what? I just can't be a part of this. I just, in good conscience, I cannot continue to work here. I'm going to quit. And so she did. She just out and out quit. She gave up that security. She gave up everything because she had this conviction that, you know, this is just what God wants me to do. I got to act on it. She didn't know what happened, but a few weeks later, she said, I was offered another job with the same good salary. I never expected it would work out that way. I just knew that I had to quit. We step out in boldness with God. And so often, he honors our faith in ways we didn't imagine. So God wants he wants to help us overcome our failures, to be filled with the Spirit, to experience signs and wonders, to have boldness for Jesus, and finally, I would say, to develop a heart of ministry to all. Peter developed a new heart of ministry to the Gentiles. See, formerly he despised them. But after his experience with the man named Cornelius and what happened, Peter changed his thinking. He was learning to love and to reach out to all people. God changed his heart. Is there anyone in your life that you would say, man, you know, it is just very hard to love this person? Sometimes we have those people in our lives. I call them EGRs. Extra grace required. And we have them. Is there, you know, sometimes there are persons that it seems hard for us to reach out to as well. But God wants us to open our eyes to see all of the people in need. And of course, they are all around us. Young, old, rich, poor, black, white, gay, straight, married, single, widowed, divorced, sober, addicted, healthy, sick. There are all kinds of persons in need today. And Jesus has said the fields are ripe unto harvest. There are all kinds of people in need around us. We need eyes to see them. We need ears to hear them. And willing hearts to reach out to them at the point of their need. One of the favorite questions around Christ Church, long before it ever became popular in the culture, was the question, what would Jesus do? You remember Dr. Pearson had the book In His Steps, and in that book, that was the main question of the book, what would Jesus do? And it impacted a community then. It began to impact our church as well. What would Jesus do in response to needs around him? And so over the years, that simple question, stirring in the hearts of Christ followers, has led to some amazing ministries in our church. Divorce recovery, widow and widow ministry, Phoenix Singles. That same question more recently, what would Jesus do, has led to ministries like Celebrate Recovery and Upward Basketball and Cheer. And still other ministries like Grief Share and Financial Peace and Hurting Parents and most recently Family Promise and Unity in the Community. And that same question, I'm convinced, will lead us well into the future. What is it that Jesus would do? Think of the impact of that question. What would Jesus do fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit leading us to reach out with fresh expressions of Jesus' love and compassion as we ask the age-old question, what is it that Jesus would do? So I think we're going to wrestle with that question as we continue to journey forward into our future, and I think it's the best question that we can all be asking together. And I hope you'll begin to pray that question with me as we lean into our future. And remember this, you too can be used in a mighty way for God. God needs you, we need you, and together with the power of His Holy Spirit, it is amazing what we can do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, loving Lord, we are thankful for the witness of all the saints who have gone before us. Some from long ago, others who have spoken more recently in our lives. One from long ago, the Apostle Peter, lived a transformed life. You changed him, Lord. You empowered him by the Holy Spirit. And we see his life, and we see that we too can live transformed lives. You can change us. You can use us to do mighty things. So help us to overcome our failures by the power of your Spirit. We do have failures, Lord, but we also can overcome them. We need to be filled with your Spirit, Lord. Yes, we need to shine your light bright in the world. We long to see signs and wonders that tell the world of your goodness and glory. Like Peter, help us to develop boldness for you. Father, we want to be in ministry to all people, not just with those that we're comfortable with. Lord, as needed, make us uncomfortable. But also help us to continue to ask the simple question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? We want to be your people in the world. Help us to live truly transformed lives. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen.